From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's Monday, February the 9th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's a senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, chicken producer Pilgrim's Pride is in deeper financial trouble than when it first filed for bankruptcy protection. OPEC is expected to cut oil output when its member nations meet in March, and Syngenta has reported a 25% year-over-year net profit increase. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then I'll tell you more about how electricity came to and changed the farm forever in the middle of the last century. Hey, don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on the Closing Market Report, and it is a production of WILL, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking the numbers in Chicago on a Monday afternoon. Futures finished the day like this in the wheat pit at 565 for the nearby March contract, 8 cents the gain, or up 8 for the day in the March wheat. May contract at 578 for the soft red, 8 cents higher. In July, up 8 and a quarter at $5.90 and a half. From Kansas City, lead option March, the hard red at $5.95 a bushel, 8.5 cents higher there as well. Corn futures now in Chicago. March contract to 377.5, settlement price a quarter cent the gain. May futures up a half at 388, and July at 398.5, up 3/4. September corn at $4.08 and 3/4 of a cent, up 1/4. New crop December, your harvest month for next year, at 421 and 3/4 for the new season. Unchanged on the afternoon. March 2010, unchanged as well at 435.5. The related products, crude oil down 61 cents, ethanol up 0.4 cents, and the RBOB gasoline a penny or a tenth of a penny lower at this hour. Soy complex now, March beans at $10.02, a penny higher. May futures 10.07.5, up 1.5, and July at 10.14.5, 2.5 higher. August contract down a penny at $10.04 for the day, and September at $9.74, down 2. November beans at $9.43, 3 cents lower. January futures at $20.10, down at 3 cents at $9.52 for the next year's soybeans. Bean meal futures at $3.13.80, down $3.50 on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the live cattle futures look like at the CME Group and livestock side. February contract at $84.70, a dollar and a nickel higher. April futures at $87.75, up $1.05. And the March feeders at $95.55, 120 higher. April at $97.35, up $1.82.5. February lean hogs at $56.05, down 30 cents for the day. The outside markets are trading the crude oil still 61 cents lower at $39.56 a barrel, below 40 bucks in that lead option March, but the April at $45.84 is down 31 cents. March ethanol at $1.61.5, down up 0.4 cents. The April in the ethanol is down 0.3 at $1.61.5. Natural gas at $4.79 is a penny and 0.6 higher for the day. And the RBOB is down 0.2 cents at $1.24.8. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $1.35.6, down 0.3 cents on the afternoon. And the propane futures are trading a penny and 0.3 cents lower at $65.4. Gold futures at $892.4, down $21.5. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 82.38 is down 41 points for the day. U.S. dollar at 84.78, down just about 0.5 on the afternoon. And just a quick reminder, it is One Day Fun Day here. If you'd like to pledge your financial support to this radio station, you can do it now at WILLAG.org. Just hit that great big red button up in the corner, or call this number, 217-244-9455, with your pledge of financial support. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us this afternoon, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace.
Well, a little bit of everything for everybody. Basically, strength on renewed concerns about the Southern Hemisphere. I saw some buying interest technically from the ability of the market to sort of make some higher highs here. And also, too, overall world demand picking up a little bit. We did see a sale of 100,000 tons of corn to South Korea, 220,000 tons of U.S. beans to China. So that was enough to give the market some momentum here and test some resistance levels. If you look at a daily price chart and draw some trend lines, we did run into some downtrend resistance levels. So the challenge now will be to crack that resistance and try to push higher. But as we all know, the tomorrow morning's main market maker will be the U.S. Numbers and the world numbers put out. The trade still dialed into a corn area, corn carry out in an area around the 1.823 billion bushel carryout estimate, a little higher than last go-around of 179. Feel that exports are still slow. We could probably see an increase carryout due to a slower export number. And the bean carryout average estimate is 204 versus 225 last month. And ideas, bean demand's been strong in through here. But probably the major market maker of the numbers, or the ones going to be watched closely, would be the Brazilian and Argentine estimates. And ideas, those are going to be drawn down from last go-around due to the dry weather they've had there, Todd.
And, of course, those who are interested can have those delivered directly to their email if they'd like by signing up for the Will Ag newsletter. You can do that at willag.org. Over on the right-hand side of the page, you can just hit subscribe. Speaking of that, if you're on the Will Ag page and you use the email service or you listen to us on the telephone lines or the radio stations or off the web, any of those things, we'd kind of like your help, too, at the radio station because this is publicly funded radio, or at least this program is. Financially, we'd like your help, so you could do one of two things. There's a great big red button up in the right-hand corner, willag.org, and you can hit that and send us a financial contribution. Dave Dickey and I like to think about $120 is a good contribution. It's a one-day, fun-day kind of fun drive. Or you can dial this number, 217-244-9455. Either way, we appreciate your support, and we appreciate the fact that you listen. And hopefully you'll go there and sign up for the newsletter because we'll send those numbers from the USDA to you tomorrow morning. After its release at 7:30, and of course, we'll post them on our website, too. It's one of those great big things at this point for the week. Anything else that's going to happen this week, Kurt, that we ought to be keeping an eye on? I think USDA's got another set on Thursday, don't they?
Yeah. Now, I have to say that you guys putting those numbers out, that's amazing. It's very quick, and it's a neat thing to sign up and get because it's real simple. You've got what the numbers are right beside you. You got what the trade was looking for and what was last time, and it's a real nice recap of it all. And I really appreciate you guys doing that because I know a lot of my customers get that, and that saves me a ton of phone calls.
Well,
it really does.
Well, you do a lot of work for us, so we're glad that we can save you some work on the phone lines. But I know you kind of like to talk to those customers on the phone, too. So
they call back later saying, you agree with that. I said, what they are. So.
Oh, well, there you go. That's the way it is. So what do you those numbers, a 1.8 on the carryout for the corn, is that in the range of where you think it'll be?
I believe so. Corn demand's been relatively slow. You talk to producers, there's a lot of corn out there to be moved yet. Everybody's sort of hoping for $4 to move some corn. That's the key. Guys getting a little nervous because they want to move this corn before roads start to get to be an issue. So I have a feeling the corn number's going to be unchanged, a little higher. We'll see what they have to say. A couple other things to watch, too, as we go on through the weekend. Here's this meal oil spread. Meal's starting to lose ground to oil there. That could be a sign that maybe we're sort of topping in through here, but oil's going to have to pick up the ground here to keep the bean complex pointed north here, so we need to watch that for some direction, too. The other thing, too, is on the meat sector. The cattle inventory report there starting to hit home to a lot of the trade. We've got the smallest numbers since the 1950s. And if we don't start seeing these herds rebuild in here, we could get in a very, very tight beef situation as we go into 2010 and 2011, Todd.
Well, those all sound like numbers that could turn things around just a bit in the grain side of the marketplace.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you look at the overall supply-demand balance sheets, the feed usage category, even though it's a miscellaneous category, you know, a large portion of that is our livestock sector.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the poultry and egg sets down quite a bit. We're starting to see a slowdown. Canadian feeder pigs coming across the border. You know, we were in that 140,000, 130,000 area. We're down to 90,000 now. So we're probably going to see a lot less meat on the counter here as we move down the road.
You'll have to forgive me for that. Of course, I said that wrong, and that would put pressure on the marketplace, not upward pressure on the marketplace, but downward pressure, just because there would be fewer livestock animals to feed.
Correct.
All right. Thanks much.
Very good.
All right, then. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. If you get the opportunity in the next few minutes, why don't you dial this number, 217-244-9455. Pledge your support, financial support, to the Closing Market Report and ag programming at willag.org. If it makes a difference in the way you market your grains and oil seeds and livestock, and we hope it does, then hopefully you'll share some of that difference with us at 217-244-9455. Just a one-day fun drive here. And we're hopeful that you will be a productive partner with us at the radio station and the Closing Market Report. Dave Dickey's here now. He'll help take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, U.S. chicken producer Pilgrim's Pride, which is operating under federal bankruptcy protection, is reporting a much wider first quarter loss on lower revenue. In a filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, the nation's largest chicken producer reported a loss of $228.78 million, or $3.09 a share, for the quarter ending December 27th, compared with a year earlier loss of $32.33 million, or 49 cents a share. The results included $3.7 million in restructuring charges and a $1.3 million adjustment that reduced severance and employee retention costs. Analysts are saying that the numbers reported from Pilgrim's Pride puts additional pressure on the company to cut production costs even more. South Korea's chief economic advisor says world leaders must do more to fight the economic crisis than publish declarations of intent, and the next G20 summit is, quote, a time to deliver. The G20, including economies such as China, India, Brazil, South Africa, and Saudi Arabia, represents about 80% of global economic output. The G20 is set to meet in Britain on April 2nd. OPEC is willing to cut oil output further at a meeting in March that today, according to the group's Secretary General. OPEC's compliance with existing oil supply curbs of 4.2 million barrels per day was about 80% of targets based on preliminary data. Agrochemical company Syngenta AG reported a 25% rise in 2008 net profit and raised the dividend but gave a guarded outlook for 2009. The producer of crop protection chemicals and seeds said net profit in 2008 rose to $1.39 billion from $1.11 billion in 2007. That was, though, below market expectations of $1.44 billion. The company plans to hike the dividend by 25% to 6 Swiss francs a share. That's $5.13. Analysts described the results were solid, but some said the change in the outlook was a bit disappointing. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program, The Closing Market Report. It is produced by public radio on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois in cooperation with you, the listener. So we do come to you from time to time and ask you to help fund the program. For a financial contribution, if you'd like to do that, it's simple and easy to do. You can dial this number now, 217-244-9455. That's 217-9455. Or go to willag.org and just hit that great big red button right there. We don't care whether you're listening to this program on the web, as a podcast, on the radio, or on the telephone. It's all the same. We'd like you to help fund the program, The Closing Market Report. Please visit one of these places, the website at willag.org, or call 217-244-9455 with your financial contribution. Now up next, May 11th, way back in 1935, was when President Franklin D. Roosevelt created the Rural Electric Administration, or the REA. It's a branch of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The REA was charged with lending money to help bring electricity to rural America. In the process, it changed the landscape and life on the farm forever. I'll have a report on a 1940 docudrama called The Power and the Land. It was released and used by USDA for 20 years to convince farmers they should form electric cooperatives.
In 1935, REA is born. 90% of all American farms without lighter power. The cities are lighted, the country still in the dark.
You and me and the neighbors, too, we get together and cut the corn.
Power in the Land follows the daily chores of a farm family in Ohio. The actors are real farmers. They cut corn and milk cows and iron clothes and stoke the stoves all by hand. It's long and hard work. The film sets all this work to music and lays out the reasons these Ohio farmers should form an electric cooperative.
Now they talk it over the country way. The slow, cautious decision of the people. Electricity. About time we got around here. Well, it sure would help me out, and the woman too. But the power company says, you can see their lines go cross country, see them in the sky, but they don't bring the power down to the farm. Say it costs too much.
It was and is still expensive to bring electric power to rural America. It takes a lot of money to lay a line to one farm. The power companies didn't want to do that, so the government made money available to those who would, and the electric cooperative was born.
But I hear there's a new kind of power, government. That's right. I hear there's an agency, Rural Electrification. Well, now, how do you go about it? I ain't for it, but I'm ready to be convinced. I'm for it if it gets us the power. Why don't we get a meeting? A meeting and hear about it. Find out about it. Don't have to take it unless we want, but find out about it. Government power for our farms.
For 20 years, well, up until the early 1960s, this film, The Power and the Land, was used at meetings like the one it depicts, where the county agent meets farmers on their home turf and tells them how they can bring electricity to the farm.
The REA was set up by the President and the Congress in 1935 to help farmers to get the power and light at a price they can afford. The REA loans money at low interest rates for line construction and, where necessary, for generating plants to the cooperative set up by the farmers in the community. There are no private investors, no profit making. You don't risk any cash yourself except a small membership fee. You get power at cost. When the loan from the government to your cooperative is paid back through your electric bills, you and your neighbors will own your own electric system, your own lines.
Through the REA, power lines reach deep into the countryside. In 1935, 90% of all American farms were without power. U.S. cities were lit, but the country, it was still dark. Over the next 5 years, some 600 electric cooperatives respond in 45 states. The power lines went up and out, thanks to the REA.
Hoist up the transformer. It means kilowatt hours of electricity. 1 kilowatt hour will do a week's wash, will grind 100 pounds of grain. 1 kilowatt hour will hoist 2 tons of hay. Kilowatt hours don't get tired.
Today, 930 electric cooperatives serve some 37 million people in 47 states, or about 80% of the counties in the U.S. And the cooperatives still serve their function. The average co-op reaches just 6.6 consumers per mile of line, with a revenue of $8,500 a mile. Other utilities service about 39 customers per mile of line and collect around $65,000 per mile. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The REA, a cooperative way to bring electricity to the farms across the nation. And public radio is one of those ways, too, with the closing market report, not to bring electricity, but to bring information. And we're asking for your cooperation today. If you dial 217-244-9455 with a pledge of financial support for the closing market report, it is provided in part by you, the listener, right here on this radio station. The programming content is driven by you, and it's also supported by you. If you enjoy it, give us a call at 217-244-9455, or as always, visit our website at willag.org. Time to check in on the cash grain market for a Monday afternoon. Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County joins us today. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Todd.
How are you today?
Doing well.
Boy, it is a beautiful afternoon here in Champaign County.
Yeah, unfortunately for us, we haven't been able to partake in any of it yet, but I'm looking forward to getting outside here in a few hours.
Is that because you've been busy on the phone, because there are a lot of trucks coming in? What's happening?
Well,
there?
I think right now we're still seeing steady movement into the elevator, spillover from previous contracts in the month of January. But at the same time, also calls calling in to find out what's going on in South America and how much impact that's going to continue to have on the grain markets. And it seemed like we had a nice little boisterous open this morning, only to be calmed down by some South American hedging, as I was told in Chicago today. So obviously there's a pre-report positioning in corn and beans. We're waiting to see what the USDA has to say in the morning. And it'll be interesting to see if they cut some of the world bean production as much as some of the private analysts have said.
How much do you think that might be?
Well, I think, personally speaking, the USDA is notorious for adjusting slow in nature. I think that the 40 to 42 million metric ton in Argentina is probably accurate, but I don't know if I expect them to jump down to that number tomorrow. I think we may be all hoping for a bullish surprise that beans can kind of pull the negative news out of corn, because most people expect the carryout to grow in corn, myself included. So we'll have to wait and see, but my bias today is that it's going to be ratcheted down maybe 2 or 3 million metric ton, but I would be surprised if the USDA makes a drastic change, which isn't in their typical pattern.
If that is the case, will the traders look, watch, and then ignore that number?
Well, no, I think that the trade follows through, and I think beans could have a good day tomorrow if they adjust significantly a big cut, but if not, then yeah, I think he'll probably ignore the numbers.
And what are your bids for the day?
Today we are 377 cash. Corn and beans are $9.92.
Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons out of Champaign County. Grain Elevator here in this county joins us each and every Monday afternoon to talk about the cash grain market in just 2 minutes. We'll take a look at what's happening in the world of agricultural weather with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. They're on the 23rd floor of the Boeing Building in Chicago, Illinois.
It's National Frozen Yogurt Day. It's also St. Dorothy's Day, patron of brewers, gardeners, and florists. On this day in agricultural history in 1617, Prospero Alpini died. An Italian physician and botanist, he is said to have introduced coffee and bananas to Europe and was among the first to artificially fertilize date palms. In 1685, Charles II, King of England, died. Known as the Merry Monarch, he introduced tea to England during his reign. And on December 23rd of 1675, he issued a proclamation suppressing coffee houses. The public response was so negative that he had to revoke it a year later. In 1796, John Stevens Henslow was born. A British clergyman and botanist, he was a mentor of Charles Darwin. To help get farmers to apply scientific methods, he gave lectures on the fermentation of manure. He also showed Irish farmers how to extract starch from rotten potatoes during the potato famine of 1845. And in 1898, Rudolf Carl George Friedrich Leuckart died, a German zoologist and pioneer in the modern study of parasites. He was among the first to trace the life history of tapeworms and the liver fluke. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. On the line with us this afternoon, Mark Russo with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it is a beautiful day here in the Midwest.
Certainly is. Kind of a taste of spring here following the extreme winter weather that has prevailed really since around January 1st here, especially across the Midwest. So kind of a break from the winter pattern, and that break will continue for another 4 or 5 days or so, although the anomalously warm conditions here will be a bit more further east here over the next several days compared to what we're going to see here today and tomorrow across Illinois and what happened over the weekend. But one thing that is also going to be accompanied by the warmth is an increase in precipitation and storminess here in the Midwest, and we have one system now that is tracking across the Midwest, and will be bring rain to Illinois, Indiana, and adjacent areas here tonight. Another wave of rain as we go into tomorrow night, and looks like that is the pattern here coming up. And from a both a precipitation and from a temperature standpoint, too, the warmth as I was mentioning earlier is going to change here and turn to colder conditions. Probably something back to more normal conditions by the upcoming weekend, and then longer term actually trending colder than average again.
No, colder than average. So we back in the teens, the zeros? Where are we going to be?
Well, from a max temperature standpoint, you could expect highs in the 20s with then lows dropping then into teens and single digits likely as we go through next week.
How about the rest of the globe or the rest of the nation? How are they doing in the Southwest? It's been dry there.
It has remained on the dry side here, although this wave now tracking across the Midwest did bring some needed rain to portions of the hard red winter wheat belt in the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, and Kansas, although it was far from any kind of widespread, significant precip event here. But we did see some improvement here, and with the increase in storm activity in the nation's midsection, it looks like by and large, over the next week, it's going to miss at least the critically dry areas of the hard red winter wheat belt. So it looks like these dryness issues are still going to be with us as we approach the spring season.
Tomorrow morning, USDA will tell us how the corn and bean crop in Argentina is faring, at least in terms of what they predict the size of that crop is going to be. It's been dry there. Any relief?
Well, they saw some relief here last week across Argentina, especially in their northern areas of their corn and soybean belt. They have another opportunity here actually tonight and into tomorrow before dry and warm weather prevails from Wednesday on through Sunday. It looks like it'll also be accompanied by some heat over the upcoming weekend before more opportunities for rain next week. So it looks like the extreme stress of late here is probably over, but you're probably not dramatically improving things.
In 10 seconds, will the fires continue to be pushed in Australia or not.
Yeah, there's no sign of any significant precip in southeastern Australia. Continue their issues.
Okay, thanks much.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Mark Report. It is funded in part by you. If you haven't done it yet, dial this number, 217-244-9455, and pledge your financial support or visit willag.org and hit the great big red button. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.